Sledding Day by Little Bee. It had to have been one of the most pleasant dreams he'd ever had in his whole life, one of those he never wanted to end. His entire body felt warm, and pleasure radiated from the tip of his tiny little toe to the very hairs of his head. Periodic flashes of his wife's smiling face and soft blue eyes came to mind, then seemed to disappear. It was almost as if he could hear her happy laughter, followed only by silence. And then there was the heavenly softness of her body on his. He knew every square inch of her and recognized it immediately, but then it was gone, leaving only the agonizing, sweet pleasure filling his heart. "Wake up, sleepyhead," he heard a soft voice say.
"Lisa," he grunted.
She giggled and continued working him over with her characteristic tenderness. It wasn't often she tried to wake her man this way. Biting her lower lip, she gazed down at him. He looked fantastic. She knew full well that he was putty in her hands, and it was all she could do to keep from taking advantage of him. Unfortunately, there were things to do, and she was very excited about them, too. It hadn't even taken an alarm for her to wake early this morning. She looked over at the clock and saw 4:55 staring back at her.
"Lisa," he groaned again.
"I'm here, sweetheart," she said, leaning in to lay a soft kiss on his lips. "Can you wake up?"
"No," he said stubbornly.
Trying to stifle her giggles, she returned, "Yes, you can. You're going to have some very disappointed young men if you don't." Something fired his engine from within, and he shot up off his pillow. "Lisa!" he exclaimed. He reached for the profound pleasure below his waist, and practically breathless from what she was doing to him, found her hand clasped tightly around an enormous erection. Unable to help himself, he whined briefly when she released him. "There you go, hon." She kissed him again and clambered off the bed. Rubbing his eyes, he looked at the clock, then groaned as he watched her walk toward the bathroom. The sight of her gloriously nude figure retreating from him only compounded his pent-up desire, maddeningly stirred to life by his sweetie, who evidently was getting up for the day. "Doggone it." He heard her giggle when he groaned again.
"Can you come finish what you started?"
Her pretty face peered around the corner at him from the restroom. She made no attempt to cover herself, and he barely stifled another groan at seeing her beauty. Her blue eyes sparkled. "The boys are coming at 8, she reminded him.
"But it's 5, he protested.
Coming closer, she looked down at him, even as he drank in her lovely curves. He was probably right. It wouldn't take long. He saw her bite her lower lip again, and his hopes soared, and then felt the splash of cold water. "Golly, you are gorgeous," she said. "And tonight..."
"Tonight," he practically whimpered,
"tonight I'm going to ravish your brains out." Collapsing back onto the bed, he groaned in defeat as she giggled again and scampered back to the restroom to prepare for the day. Yes, the boys were coming, all 15 of them, and every one of them around the age of 8. They were her little charges from her Sunday school class, and she'd promised them a very special day if they memorized their verses. He'd agreed to help her deliver on it a week ago, and a promise was a promise. Rubbing his eyes, he arose and dressed, joining her in the restroom moments later. Mercifully, she now wore a t-shirt, which stopped right below the spot where things got exciting. He gave her a crooked grin in the mirror. "Love you, hon," she returned his smile. After stabbing in his contacts and a quick shave, he headed for the door. "I'll have breakfast for you at 7, he heard her say. Pulling on insulated coveralls, a stocking hat, one knit specially for him by his sweetie, and gloves, he winced as he headed out into the frosty morning air. It could have been worse than the 10 degrees he saw on the thermometer, but it was still cold and a shocking blow to his face. Maybe one of these years he'd have to grow a beard to give his face some insulation. Nope, couldn't do that either. Lisa didn't like beards. Moments later, he was at the farm and rolling back the protesting shed door to the large John Deere tractor. It was a 9530T, and had some great tracks that were going to do well in flattening out the 2 feet of white stuff so the boys could sled. After checking the oil, he hopped into the cab and attempted to start the engine. Sorry, Johnny, he murmured. I didn't want to get up this morning either, and I won't tease you with a hand job. Maybe it was more work for Johnny to wake all 475 of his horses than it had been for him to wake up. Grinning wryly, while listening to the protesting turns of the engine, he gave Johnny about the only thing that would have waked him on a cold morning by pressing the ether switch. That eventually coaxed the engine to life and sent black smoke pouring into the shed. Whew, boy, your breath is worse than mine was this morning, old boy. Slamming the cab door shut, he nudged the machine forward out of the shed and let it idle for a while to warm things up. The neighbors, if any of them happened to arise at this unearthly hour, would doubtless wonder what in the world he was doing. But so be it. They had wondered the same before. Satisfied that Johnny was ready for work, he headed across the fields, ghostly white in the moonlight. The machine hummed across the snow until he reached the place he wanted to bring the kids. Goosing the throttle, he aimed Johnny up the steep hill. 10 long minutes later, the engine growled a protest of relief to have finally clawed its way to the top. The return trip was much easier, and with a few successive passes, he created a nice little sled run that he hoped would please any 8-year-old boy, or those with the heart of one. They'd soon smooth over the small divots left by the tracks. "Okay, Johnny," he murmured again. "I'll let you go back to bed now in your cold shed." Pulling back into the barnyard, he backed the tractor into the shed and idled the machine down before turning it off. Immediately, the stone-cold silence of the early morning returned, and after some feverish work on the farm ATV, he managed to start it, then got it fueled up. It wasn't going to light 2 feet of snow at all, but once they had a trail down, it would work okay. Racing back home on the slick streets, he managed to make it just before 7 for breakfast. Tempted to sneak a snowball into the house to drop down his wife's shirt, he thought better of it. After all, what goes around comes around. Instead, he stamped off his boots and headed into the welcoming warmth of their home, whistling as he did so. Hearing his cheerful whistle always brought a smile to Lisa's face. She was giddy with happiness now and had been looking forward to this day all week long. She wanted her boys to have a good time. It had always been a challenge in Sunday school to get the boys to focus long enough to do things like remembering Bible verses. But even James, who usually couldn't memorize anything to save his life, managed to perform the feat. Of course, she reflected, he'd missed half the words, but the little man had heart, and he'd done his best. And then her man was there. His hair was all mussed up from the stocking cap, and Lisa's face nearly froze when he pulled her to him for a kiss, one hand at her breast and the other on her bum. With rapid, feminine efficiency, she checked his face for the slightest inkling that he would rather be doing something different during the day than taking care of her boys, and saw none. He grinned at her, wondering what she was thinking, and said, "Those boys are going to get the ride of their lives. By the time they hit the bottom of the hill, they'll be going a zillion miles an hour." "They won't get hurt, will they?" she asked. "Nah," he replied, "but they might wet their pants. I can't guarantee they won't do that." Bending his head down, she kissed him again. "Thank you, hon. Now come eat." And he did. He always ate heartily at Lisa's table. Something about watching him fill his tummy with her cooking satisfied her, even if sometimes he neglected to slow down enough to appreciate the taste. They always said the way to a man's heart was through his stomach. But just what did they know anyway? His testimony was that it was her smile that found its way to his heart first. Oh well. She grinned to watch him wolf down his breakfast. It was for a good reason this time. He wanted to be back at the farm office by the time the little tykes started to arrive. He could sense her watching him and smiling, that she was happy, and that he was so fortunate to experience love in his home brought more joy to his heart than he could ever put into words. The facts that she was a fantastic cook and the most beautiful woman he'd ever seen were bonuses. "Okay," he said finally, wiping his mouth. "I'd better get to the farm office so that I'm there when the gremlins start arriving." "Sweetheart," she laughed, "did you taste any of it at all?" "Kind of hard to taste on inhalation," he winked, then added, "it was great. See you soon." "Men," she laughed, shaking her head. Yes, I'll be out as soon as I pack some things up here." And then she was in his arms once again. His face wasn't cold this time, and his lips were soft and inviting. He looked down at her tenderly and gently whisked an errant hair from her forehead. She would make such a great mother. The whole world knew it, but he didn't dare say it. If only, but it wasn't to be. But this was her day. "I think it's great what you're doing for these boys," he told her. "They're not going to forget this. You're building men."
"You think so?"
His eyes twinkled, and though he made no reply, the smile on his handsome face told her all she needed to know. He wondered if she knew how proud of her he was. Looking at the clock on the wall behind Lisa, he sighed. "I better go, hon. It's 1:45. One more kiss, and then he was gone, whistling cheerfully again. She felt a twinge of guilt. There was one thing in life that made him truly happy, just one, and she knew it was her. And she denied him this morning, though he didn't seem to mind now. Perhaps he'd forgotten it already. On top of that, she'd roped him into spending his day with a bunch of kids in the freezing cold. As if he could hear her thoughts, he turned once to look at her, winked, and then entered the garage. Zipping out to the office over slippery roads, he managed to get to the farm office first. Well, almost first. Melissa was already there and had a pot of coffee brewing, the fragrance of which filled the office. "Morning, miss," he called.
"Good morning," she replied.
"You don't have to come in today. It's your day off."
"I know. I just wanted to give Lisa a hand. Is anyone else coming?"
"I don't know. I guess we'll see." Both turned to the sound of stamping feet, and then it was Stan filling the doorframe. "Where's my sled?" his booming voice filled the small room. Marie rolled her eyes and followed him in.
"Honestly, Stan, haven't you ever heard of ladies first?"
"Of course I have," he protested. "But Melissa was already in the office. Ow!"
"You deserved that," teased Marie.
"He's still about 8 years old himself," his farming partner explained dryly.
"You got everything ready?"
"I think so. I flattened out the south slope on the McCormick place this morning." Moments later, Lisa arrived and begged help to transfer stuff from her car to the office. Her husband obliged, and soon the office was full of her treats and the fixings for cider and hot cocoa. Shortly after 8, the boys started to arrive. And funny thing, the noise came with them. But it never seemed to get to Lisa. Her face lit up with each new guest. Her husband quietly watched her, his admiration for her growing. One of the boys spilled his cocoa in the middle of the carpet.
"No, it couldn't have been on the linoleum by the door, where it would have been easy to clean. It had to be the carpet."
Biting his tongue, he watched his wife work her magic. Soon the mess was cleaned up and the boys somewhat in order and ready to go. Looking over at her husband, Lisa gave him the same smile he had fallen in love with at the beginning. He winked at her and caught the signal. Sometimes she was maddeningly sexy without even trying, or probably even realizing. "Okay, men," he began, "are you ready for some sledding?"
"Yay!" they cried in unison,
and Blamnir ran him over in their haste to reach the door.
"I don't think I quite heard them, did you?" he asked the now silent room.
"Get going, cousin," Marie laughed. "You've got some catching up to do." "I was thinking of using the ATV to tote them up and down the hill," he remarked.
"I think I'd just let them run up the hill instead," suggested Marie.
"Come on, bro," Stan said.
The two men followed their little charges out into the cold.
"Whoops, almost forgot."
Returning to the warmth of the office, he kissed Lisa, then returned to Stan and the boys.
"What'd you forget?" one of the boys asked.
"I forgot to give my wife a kiss."
"A kiss? Ooh, yuck. Do you have to kiss her a lot?"
"I sure do."
"Yeah, so does my daddy."
Stan's booming laughter felt as if it filled the entire outdoors.
"Why is he laughing?"
"You better ask him," he laughed. Once the boys got situated in the back of Stan's truck, under the somewhat protective cover of the canopy, Stan gunned the engine and headed for the barnyard.
"Hey, this works pretty well. I usually spin out in the snow when I'm coming over this rise," said Stan. "Maybe I should hire these little guys to be permanent ballast for the back of the truck. I think it's all the driver myself." "Nobody asked you."
Pulling up to the shop, Stan parked his truck. The boys were already boiling out of the bed of the pickup before he could even get out of the cab.
"All right, guys, before we head up the hill, the bathroom's in there if you need it. If you can't make it, well, make some yellow snow, all right?"
"What's that?"
"We'll talk about that later if the need arises."
Hearing Stan's continued laughter, he hissed, "Shut up!" Pausing, he looked at the little army staring up at him. They were actually paying attention, at least for the moment. Maybe they were at that age right before they quit caring what adults had to say. Or perhaps they wouldn't remember a single word of his anyway. A rush of memories took him wistfully into the past, when he used to climb those hills himself with sled in hand.
They'd seemed so much bigger back then, but maybe that was because they didn't have an ATV. He remembered the races to get to the top, his lungs crying for air and his heart practically pounding itself out of his chest by the time he reached the top, flopping down in the snow on his back to rest. He hadn't known Lisa back then, and he'd once thought girls were icky too, but it had been she who brought him to a far better form of heart-pounding exercise.
"Gosh, mister, can we go sledding now?"
Chuckling, he looked at his little charges. How long he'd stood there thinking of the past, he didn't know. He'd do wrong to take advantage of their innocent attention any longer. A couple of them were fidgeting. Some were still staring at him wide-eyed or around at the massive interior of the shop. It would be so much fun to be a father. The thought raced through his mind like a thunderclap, and he felt in small measure what Lisa must have been feeling all this time. "You bet," he smiled. "Let's go, boys. Just let's try to be nice and take turns, and try to stay safe, all right?"
"Yay!"
the chorus thundered back at him. Immediately the boys made a beeline for the shop door and went out into the frosty air. The men followed behind them, chuckling.
"Nice speech there, Ace," Stanley laughed, elbowing him in the ribs.
Firing up the ATV, the boys were ferried a few at a time to the top of the hill, where they could contemplate the steep hill they were soon to descend rapidly.
"Come on, guys," Stan coaxed. "Takes a real man to go down first."
"Maybe they'd like a demonstration."
"You want to show them how?" asked Stan.
"Nah, why don't you at least show them how to sit in the sled?"
"Oh, no, you don't. I see what's coming now," defended Stan.
"Okay, boys, Uncle Stan's going to show you all how it's done."
"Yay!"
And soon a chagrined Stanley was on his way down the hill, grumbling the entire way down. He'd chosen the inner tube, so his landing should be soft. It didn't take him long to get down, and he hadn't stopped there either. It was at least a picture of how far 200 pounds would go.
"Okay, guys, who's next?"
Eventually, the boys found their courage, and soon the frosty air was filled with their happy shouts. The sun slowly crawled its way above the horizon and warmed the surrounding air to a balmy 26 degrees. Around mid-morning, the girls paid a visit and caught a ride to the hilltop on the ATV.
"Wow, you weren't kidding," Lisa exclaimed as she looked back down the breathtakingly steep hill she'd just come up.
Her husband encircled her in his arms from behind. "They've done well. There haven't been any accidents, yet, and they seem to be taking turns nicely, just like you taught them in Sunday school."
"Cousin, I want to go on a ride," Marie said matter-of-factly.
Grabbing Lisa's hand, she continued, "In fact, we both want a ride."
"You're going to have to dicker with an army of little men if you want to turn," he chuckled. "But I need to run down to get the next batch."
And Marie would find a way, too. As he gunned the ATV back down the hill, he thought he heard her threatening one of the little guys with his share of the cookies and hot cocoa if he didn't let them commandeer the inner tube. He smiled wryly. Nobody refused Marie. It was just that simple. And had he not left when he did, they would have beaten him to the bottom of the hill, their combined shrieks surpassing those of the boys. Afterward, Lisa coaxed the boys over to the farm shack and distributed cookies and hot cocoa, her husband watching and marveling at her powers of persuasion. He didn't think he could have pried them off the hill if he'd tried. Then again, the promise of some treats probably weighed very heavily on some boys who suddenly had reason to remember their stomachs. He enjoyed watching her work with her little charges, patiently dispersing the treats and somehow managing to keep them mainly in order, as much as was possible with little men. Best of all, he enjoyed seeing her smile. He didn't mind taking a back seat for something that truly gave her pleasure. She would cry later, but watching her now thrilled him. And then it was back out into the cold. Stanley protested, saying his stomach hurt from all the cookies he had eaten, but Marie eventually prodded him back into action. The boys moved a little slower than before, but not by much. Still, by the time noon rolled around, most of them were ready to call it quits. By then, Lisa and Melissa had set up a couple of tables in the farm office. Having gone stir-crazy in the small space, Marie had been commissioned to head to town to pick up the pizza. Her return evoked the final cheer of the day from the boys, who had proceeded to go through the lunch like Hoover vacuum cleaners. There had been a final, brief flurry of activity as mothers and fathers showed up to pick up their young men, but eventually all quieted. Only the scent of the pizza and the echo of happy voices remained in the air, and the special memory of one young man who took it upon himself to express his gratitude to his Sunday school teacher. He'd removed his stocking cap, stuck out his little hand,
and said his thanks. He would never understand just how much his sweet, boyish smile tugged at Lisa's heart. That one was going to be a charmer one day.
"By the way, Lisa," Stan's voice seemed loud in the room, "how come you got stuck with the boys in Sunday school anyhow? Who got all the girls?"
She looked up at him and caught his teasing grin. It had been a long-standing joke at their church, with most parents wondering if something had been in the water 8 years ago to have produced such a crop of boys. There were girls before and after, but for whatever reason, that year had favored the boys, lots of them. It had certainly been a busy Sunday school season, but she hadn't minded, and had experienced the joy of more than one parent appreciative of her efforts. She would miss her boys when the class rotated the coming fall. She sighed contentedly and looked over at her husband. He winked at her and pulled her soft form into his arms. "I love you, baby," he whispered. "You created a lot of memories today." "Please take me home," she smiled wearily. The ride back was a quiet one, but he knew what she was thinking. It was fun to play what if for a day, but it still wasn't the same as the real thing. It was one of those things about life that would always be difficult for him to understand. If ever a woman was suited to be a mother, it was Lisa. Yet the good Lord had seen fit for her not to bear children, though plenty of children were born to people who cared nothing for them. While he would never believe God to be unfair, it sometimes seemed that way on the surface. But he knew that usually meant he didn't have the full picture. He'd resolved to give as much love as was in him to his sweetheart, and be there for her when her heart wrestled with what wasn't to be. Upon reaching home and attempting to do the gentlemanly thing and open her door, he slipped in the snow and disappeared from view. Stepping out of the car and laughing, she found him on his back in the snow. "You all right?" "It's nothing that making love won't cure," he quipped. She smiled. That seemed to cure a lot of things in his world. "Then we better get to it. I don't want to be responsible for your permanent impairment." And then dropping a snowball on him that she had hidden behind her back, she managed to scamper to the house before he could retaliate. Or she thought she did. But even inside the house, she wasn't safe. The walls shook with her shriek when he put some snow down her shirt before catching her giggling form in his arms. They took a shower together in their small bathroom. One of these days, there was a remodeling project that needed to be done just to get a little more space. Still, it felt good to be close to her. He wondered if she could fathom how much pleasure it gave him just to see her naked. She did. Because she was facing away from him, he couldn't see her knowing smile, but his erection was impossible to miss, resting in the cleft of her bum. A part of her felt bad for denying him this morning, but they'd make up for it soon. He followed her into their bedroom, feasting his eyes on her lovely form. If ever there was a definition of beauty, it was her. The dictionary need only put Lisa beside the word, and surely the whole world would agree. When she turned to find him looking at her, she gave him a smile that would twist any red-blooded man in knots. "Do you know where the matches are?" she asked sweetly, immediately bursting every naughty thought rushing through his mind at the moment. Matches? He was thinking of... and she wanted to know about matches? She giggled at his stammering reply. "Never mind, I'll find them." And she did, proceeding to light a few of her favorite candles, with which Marie had gifted her at Christmas. Hitting the lights, she stood with her husband as they both watched the mesmerizing flickers of flame and enjoyed the pleasant scent that wafted upward. He looked over at her, enjoying her profile in the dim light. She was the loveliest of creatures he had ever laid his eyes on, and her beauty only started on the surface. Her cheerfulness and innocent way of looking at life never ceased to captivate him. Alas, the one thing he wanted most to give and share with her he could not, though it was not from lack of trying. Gently turning her to him, he again feasted his eyes on her and tenderly explored her with his hands. She smiled at him, reciprocating his touch, and his flesh tingled in each spot her loving fingers caressed. Then, taking her hand, he led her to their bed, softly asking her to sit down. Atop the soft covers, she looked up at him with yearning in her eyes. Probably without her even realizing it, a small hand smoothed over her tummy and then lower as the other touched a beautiful breast. Kneeling between her stunning legs, he heard her giggle when he kissed both knees before gently pressing them apart to enjoy the exquisite view of her spread open before him in the soft candlelight. Holding both breasts in her hands, She looked down at her body, watching him watch her. She knew already what he thought of her, but it was still a treat to see how captivated she could make him. Dipping his face towards her nether regions, he felt her softly clasp her thighs against him as he drew closer. Her skin felt incredibly smooth, a tantalizing delight to his soul. He saw the increasing rise and fall of her tummy with each breath as she anticipated his touch. His hands roamed her soft thighs, then lightly touched at her waist and hips before smoothing over her flat tummy, pausing to tickle her belly button. Her own hand flew down to his with a giggle as he smiled up at her, leaning in to kiss where his hands had touched. Then her fingers moved to his head, playing with his hair as he teased her body with soft kisses. Relaxing her beautiful legs, she leaned back on the bed and allowed him to fill his eyes with her femininity blossoming pink with arousal. He nuzzled his face lower and kissed her sensitive, baby-smooth skin, interrupted only by the narrow strip of pubic hair she kept meticulously manicured just for him. "With a lawnmower," he'd once teased. Yeah, right, not quite. If only it were that easy. But however it happened, he loved and adored the way she'd chosen to present her feminine beauty to him. "Oh, sweetheart," Lisa gasped, as she felt his flickering tongue dance in delight. He tasted of her sweetness, his tongue dipping into her well of passion and exploring each part of her slippery cleft. He felt her tremble as her legs came up to clasp softly behind his head, enclosing him against her. Pausing, he looked up to see her head propped up on a pillow as she watched him. She gave him a crooked smile, which he took as a good sign, along with her inability to catch her breath. Her hands trembling, she held the gaze of his sexy eyes as he made one last delicious slide with his tongue through her cleft, then swirled it around her clitoris. Barely able to draw another breath, she gasped as the adorable body God had placed her in gave one of his children rapturous delight. More truthfully, it was a pleasure for both of them. She tried her best to meet her lover's eyes, though shaking uncontrollably. Her body writhed in pure ecstasy that was surely only one step removed from the pleasures God had reserved for his own in heaven. She felt his gentle hands at her waist and clasped her legs tighter about his head as he sweetly loved her and enjoyed the taste of everything she was as a woman. Her eyes overflowed with love for him. The intense pleasure he was able to give her simultaneously sated her every earthly desire and left her breathless in fulfilled contentment, yet invigorated her with delight in this part of the abundant life given to them by their Savior. How could her joy in the husband he had blessed her with ever be described? He continued to gaze at her, admittedly holding on for dear life. For a moment her face was obscured, her back arched, her gorgeous breasts offered to the sky above, each taut nipple etched as a silhouette in the dimly lit room. One hand clutched tightly at the blanket while the other softly pressed on her tummy. The passion-filled cries of her love made sweet music in his ears as the movements of his tongue joyfully played her like the most delightful instrument he could imagine. Each soft press against her clitoris renewed the chorus of her love song as new waves of pleasure fluttered through her. Unique and exciting. She lowered her eyes to his again, smiling at him between her breasts. Her body glowed in the dim light, reflecting off of thousands of tiny droplets clinging to her skin, all of which only accentuated her stunning beauty. His face was wet with her passion, and he felt as if he had partaken of a feast. He kissed her gently again, feeling her quiver in response. Then watched her face as he softly opened her beautiful, smooth flower petals with a finger. Her lush, moist warmth closed around him in happy acceptance. She cried out again, her hand briefly stroking the hair on his forehead before she lay back and let the blissful convulsions of her lovely body remove all other thought. A simple little movement, his finger gently curling within to find that soft, spongy mass of tissue, gave her joy sufficient to put her into orbit. In a more coherent moment, she would wonder at God's design that allowed the human body to experience so much enjoyment. Ever so gently, he moved his finger, each time sending explosions of pleasurable warmth through her body that grew within her until it felt like he was touching her entire body all at once. She glanced at him once more, seeing his eyes radiating love back to her, and cried with abandon. Her eyes rolled back into her head as the waves washed over her again and again, starting where her husband so lovingly touched her and pulsating outward. Her skin tingled with bliss under her hand, each place she moved them feeling a buzz. Another gentle wiggle of his finger sent thousands more little sparks of energy racing from her tummy to her swollen breasts and back again in circles within. Ecstasy seemed to build in her rigid nipple tips, as if searching for a way to burst forth but not finding it. Her hands involuntarily reached upward, and her fingertips found each sensitive nub, pleasure radiating from the touch. And when she ever so softly squeezed them, white heat filled her. Her mouth opened wide, her face flushed, as every vestige of control, if ever she'd had any, was lost. She couldn't see her husband for the moment, but she knew he was there. Her heart cried with joy from each delightful touch of his hands. He was indeed, and he was watching her with fascination, softly moving his finger against her G-spot as her body convulsed and shook, warm little spurts of fluid ejaculating from her smooth cleft near his finger. Her fountain warmed his face and bathed her smooth thighs and tummy with droplets of her pleasure. He rubbed her gently as she touched herself and again cried out, her muscles tightening as her body convulsed and renewed the spurts of her ecstasy as if awakened to his touch. Life contained many beautiful things, but if she wasn't the ultimate he'd ever known on this side of the grave, he didn't know what would be. His delight in her overwhelmed him, and he yearned to be one. As her fountain subsided, he gently shifted her on the bed and replaced his finger with his penis. He watched happily as the tip of his manhood tenderly parted her femininity and eased inside her. Her soft blue eyes flashed open at him as his face came near hers, the softness of his chest hair tickling at her breasts. Words were not needed, and he caught her open-mouthed cry in his own as their lips and breaths became one. His hands found hers and stretched them over her head, planting them on the bed as she arched her back. Her taut nipples rubbed against his. Oh, sweet agony! She exhaled her passion into his waiting mouth until he feared every breath had been stolen from her lungs. Her soft legs clasped about his bum, her core shivering as she rocked herself against his throbbing penis. The waves of pleasure that filled her, she could share with her husband this time. Finding a strength within her she didn't otherwise possess, she thrust upward at him and raised off the pillow as if to defy gravity to give herself to him. Holding on, he supported her as best he could, loving the look on her face with each contraction of pleasure and each warm spurt he felt caress his manhood. Then she tossed her head back, and her arch filled his face with the softness of her breasts. Thrusting, a man lost and drowning in love, he filled her body with himself and her ears with his ragged cries as he joined her in sweet rapture, each of them surrendering all control to the other. Two hearts soared in delight to the throne of him who surely smiled at the love which brought two souls together in such magnificent expression of his. Unity of shared pleasure radiated between them until impossible to discern whether it was his or hers. Her breasts were crushed against his chest in a tight embrace, even as she locked him in place with smooth legs. His milky white sperm spurted into her womb in time with the warm pulsations of her passion against his waist. He felt deliciously hard and impossibly long within her, as if an arrow of his love reached upward to pierce her very heart from within. He came and came and came until every part of him was given to her, leaving him reeling in pleasure-filled aftershocks that left him unable to still his beating heart any more than he could his desire to continue pressing within her, to be yet further united with her soul. How long they lay together in the same position, without uttering even a single word, they didn't know. He looked down at his wife as with new eyes of adoration and humbly thanked her from the depths of his heart. Her whispers in return filled him with life and delight as a man. A marvelous woman without equal in the world. How could he possibly ever adequately thank God for such a priceless gift to one of the least of his children? He felt her soft, trembling hand gently touch his face, unaware of the identical thought passing through her heart and her gratitude to God for the joy of being his helpmate. "I think I need another shower," she finally giggled.
"You and me both, hon," he chuckled.
Reluctantly withdrawing from her, he affectionately lifted his precious treasure in his arms and took them both back to the shower. The length of the day came home to her in an instant, so she didn't protest his tenderly washing her. She remembered the cold and the snow, the happy cries of her little boys, and the love of a man who adored her even more than his own life. Her tears came again, as he knew they would, and he gave her the refuge of his arms. She drew strength from his embrace, even as he gained peace from hers.